The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Then they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, what we have not, give us. Lord, what we know not, teach us. And dear Lord, what we are not, make us. For your mercy and your love's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Do sit down. Working as a priest in hospital ministry is nothing if not varied. This week, I was leading a study day in the hospice on the theme of compassion for healthcare professionals. And we were exploring together the challenge of sustaining genuine compassion and empathy week in, week out, and trying to understand and to overcome the build-up of problems such as compassion fatigue. And one of the most moving parts of our workshop was a hands-on session that was led by our complementary therapist, who taught us how to do a simple hand massage, practicing on each other. It was really wonderful to see all the professionals lined up in pairs with a comfortable towel spread out between them, and each one taking turns with that tender work of soothing and massaging tired hands. I was just in charge of the background music, but we all enjoyed it. And I was reflecting on that very tender experience as we read this morning's gospel, the astonishingly intimate story of Jesus being anointed in the house of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they were giving a dinner party for Jesus, a very personal appreciation of all that he had done for Lazarus. And as Mary anointed Jesus' feet, the fragrance of that costly perfume filled the whole house. There was a kind of double poignancy in Mary's gift. There was that very touching and personal act of gratitude for the miracle of her brother's healing, coupled with this troubling intuition that in some way her anointing was foreshadowing Jesus' own coming death and burial. And that evening, among friends, Jesus received Mary's gentle, compassionate touch to strengthen him and to prepare him for the brutalities that would lie ahead on the road of his passion. And today we celebrate what the church calls Passion Sunday. Our liturgies begin to shift. In some churches, the colour shifts as we enter this solemn season that leads into Holy Week and Easter. And we leave behind the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and begin that steady journey to walk with Jesus along the road of his suffering and death. And now is the time for us, in the words of this morning's collect, to ponder the mysteries of his passion. To ponder. Year by year, the season invites us to engage our hearts and minds and to ponder and to pray together, to pray through the passion. Bless. We enter into Christ's journey with our whole souls as we each weigh and ponder those sacred mysteries. There's a great deal to ponder. The mystery of betrayal in the human heart. The awful mystery of wickedness, the abuse of power in public life. Those unfathomable mysteries of suffering and the luminous shadow of compassion. And the eternal mystery of God's undying, unforgiving and redemptive love. Fathomless mysteries which deepen and gather within our own souls as we simply journey through life, and mysteries which take hold of our imagination and shape and strengthen us as we follow in the footsteps of our Lord. Mysteries. Mysteries invite contemplation. They're not problems to be understood. They're not some kind of complicated puzzle for the universe that human intellect tries to rationalize or resolve. We don't try to comprehend or to grasp the awesome mysteries of God. These mysteries of life and of death are the ones that take hold and grasp us and call our hearts to humility, to pondering, to prayer. So as we embark on another Passiontide together this morning, some thoughts for us on what it may mean to ponder, to pray through together the mysteries of Christ's passion. First of all, we pause. We simply pause to focus on the journey ahead. I'm always struck in the Gospels by the very careful way in which Jesus tries to prepare his friends for what is coming. Despite their quite blithe misunderstandings at times, Jesus repeatedly instructs the disciples about his coming passion. The Son of Man will be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. He didn't want them to stumble unprepared into the passion. Such was his care for them. And that compassion alone is worth pondering for a while. Jesus wanted to steady and to strengthen his friends, and he wants to steady and to strengthen us too. So it's good to just pause for a moment on Passion Sunday and to pray that our own faith will be deepened and not diminished through whatever suffering and challenge lies ahead on our own journey. So we pause, we prepare. Secondly, for this journey, I think we need to learn to walk slowly. Read any of the Gospels and you notice how the narrative of the Passion is achingly stretched out, chapter by chapter. And these deep mysteries invite us to slow prayer, faithful following along, step by step, along the road to Calvary. And our liturgies reflect that slow motion, slow pace, the journey of devotion along the way of the cross. In our own church, we have the Holy Week liturgies all set out on the notice sheet this week. We'll be reading the entire Passion narrative next week with no shortcuts. We read every part of it. We give time to special services, slowly internalizing the meaning of Christ's passion. And over the centuries, Christians in so many ways, from private devotions like the Stations of the Cross, or very public, dramatic and musical presentations. Some of us are going next year to the Oberammergau Passion Play. Many of us this year may be going to the Bach Sacred Oratorios. But in different ways, we invite one another to slowly enter into the depth of meaning of this story. And these dramas slow us down and draw us deeper into the mystery, each detail seeping into our imagination, each step of the journey, each scene, as we ponder the weight of the cross, the madness of the crowd, the heartbreak of a mother, the darkness of a tomb. And to pray the passion slowly is to be transformed, as St. Paul says, through the renewing of our minds. Each detail begins to soften and to stretch even the hardest of hearts. Here, where our own compassion deepens. Here, where we learn what discipleship means. And however fearfully, as we follow the steps of our Master in loving obedience, we are changed. So we pray slowly. And for me, the third invitation, as we begin to step out on this journey once again, is to stay close to the Lord. The story begins there in that intimate home in Bethany. And then Jesus moves on to the point in the garden where he is begging his friends to stay close to him. The same Lord who calls to us now to stay with him, to share in his passion, on a journey of intimate spiritual companionship. It is a deep mystery, our communion and companionship with Christ, just hinted at in that story of Mary's tender anointing. And I dare say, as we go through the story, we often notice it is the women who stay close to Jesus, the women along the roadside in the Gospels, that legend of Veronica holding out the towel for the Lord, the women who stay close to the cross. And so often, as we see in music and art and sculpture, Jesus' own mother at the foot of the cross, the one who stays the whole journey and will finally embrace her dead son when it looks as if everything is finished. Finished or unfinished, we could rush ahead and rejoice that those women, those people who stayed close to Jesus, were also the first to discover the reality of his risen life, so close to his passion. How could they not be the first to discover that dizzy reality of his risen life? But we mustn't rush. We must slow down. And for now, prepare ourselves to ponder, to pray slowly through these weeks, to stay close enough to our Lord, to bear faithful witness to the mystery of his undying love. So today with Christ, we begin to turn our face to Jerusalem, to embrace the mystery that shapes the whole of our Christian life. For us, it begins in this sacrament of communion as we take into our souls, morsel by morsel, the grace and power of God's death-defeating love. In the name of Christ, Amen.